You're listening to Soul Survivors, ESL Teaching and Expat Life in Seoul, Korea.
Undisclosed Starbucks somewhere in Seoul at Seoul Survivors, your weekly source on teaching ESL and living in Seoul. I'm your host, Carl, and with me today is my co-host, Jennifer.
Hi.
Yeah, you know, I changed the little intro because I have to write it down. I've been doing this. This is podcast 47, so I've been reading this. I've read this 47 times now, and I could not possibly commit it to memory. So I always have to have it on a piece of paper. And sometimes I even forget to say my own name. I'm your host. And with me today, so I wrote today, I'm your host, Carl, and with me today are my co-hosts, Jennifer and Rosa.
Which is a lie.
Yeah, so Rosa is not here, so, but we were fairly warned in advance that today might be a soft chance for Rosa.
Well, yeah, Rosa's parents are in town, and so she had to go meet relatives that... apparently have not seen her since birth or so something along
like
those
a new
lines.
Batch, because last weekend she was visiting one batch.
Or she went to the mountains last week and she was just talking about this batch.
Okay.
Maybe. I don't remember. That was, last week was so far ago that I just can't remember that far.
I know. And the weeks go by so quickly. It's like.
They really do.
Was that a month ago or was that 2 days ago? I cannot remember. Man.
In other words, I've turned into my grandmother.
Yeah. Oh man, yeah. Speaking about grandmothers, God, you know, today I keep seeing like really old ladies dressed completely inappropriately.
Yeah, well, yeah. Korea is land of mutton, if there ever was one.
Yeah, but I'm like, you know, I always want to do kind of like a photograph scavenger hunt. And you have to capture certain photographs. One of the photographs is like, you know, a woman over 50 years old wearing fishnet stockings.
Yes, woman over 50 wearing leather shorts with black tights and high heel boots.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, it's just not like, you know, cougars in a bar. This is, this is just, you know, just go out to the grocery store wearing.
Yeah. I saw a woman wearing butt pads.
Foot pads or butt?
Butt pads. Oh, I have to email you. I have
All
a
right.
picture. You can put it on the website.
Okay.
I was walking past a shop and they had butt pads in the window. It's like a girdle
right.
with like the padded bra inserts,
okay.
but
okay.
the padded bra inserts are in the butt. And then I was sitting on the subway and this woman stands directly across from me facing the other way. So it was like eye level.
Okay.
I was not like standing on the subway checking out people's butts. And she was wearing pants that I will guess she bought without the butt pads because wearing the butt pads made them super skin tight. So there were these perfect padded circles in the middle of her pants, and it was really funny. But she was about 60-something.
Is this to achieve this new S line they keep talking about?
I'm sure it is because Koreans sort of have the I line.
The I line. All right. And there's some sort of
S-line... gas boiler.
Is that what it is?
S-line your gas bill.
All right, because they're using two imageries. They're using this strange robot, clanky robot
That's
guy.
That's the old money-wasting gas boiler.
And then they're using this leggy hot chick.
Who's showing you how you can S-line your gas bill.
Oh, okay.
Because gas bills in Korea are so horrendous.
Yeah.
I don't even get one, but my coworkers do. Theirs is usually like 600 won a month.
$600 a month.
One.
600.
One.
One. Oh.
A month.
60
so
cents.
Like 50 or 60 cents a month. Wow. I could get that down a little lower.
What do they do for heating? Because if you're heating with Ondol.
Yeah, if you're heating with Ondol, it will be quite a bit higher. Mm. But their building must have some, they do have ondol, but it must have electrically heated ondol or something. I'm not sure.
Yes. Yeah.
Wow. So that's just their cooking. No. So you can guess that they don't cook too much at home.
And we have two snacks of the week. One is yours.
Yeah, I was at the dollar store like an hour ago, and they had homemade cookies for a dollar. It was amazing. So I had to buy some.
Homemade in Japan cookies.
Homemade in Japan and shipped to Korea for only a dollar.
Yeah, dollar store finds. Yeah, it's strange. It's like you go to the dollar stores, and everything in the dollar stores, and 90% of things in the dollar stores are Japanese.
Yeah.
Like, yeah. It's got all the...
I have to say, there are definitely two qualities of dollar stores in Korea.
Okay.
There is the dollar store where everything is literally 1,001.
Right, yes.
And it's the same disgusting crap that would be at an American dollar store.
Yeah.
And the other kind are more like the Dollar General at home, where it's low price, not 1,001 necessarily, but it's more like overruns and like companies bought too much of something and didn't sell it or whatever. So you can actually get some good finds there. And I went to the latter kind today. And yeah, quite a few Japanese snacks.
Okay. And then I got a beverage.
Shikie, not my favorite.
Shik. That, does that mean food or something? Shik-dang. Shik. Yeah. Shik-hye-hua.
I have no idea what the
hye, but... All right, you don't know what the hye stands for.
No, but shik-hye is the rice drink that you can often get at a restaurant.
Okay, yeah. So it's a rice...
At finer restaurants.
Yeah, it's a rice drink. Yeah. And, See, and nostalgia drink since 1993.
Yeah, 1993. That brings back the memories, I have to say. 1993 was a good year.
Maybe Koreans only been putting things in cans since 1993. I don't know. Maybe before it was just coming in
leather bags. I don't know. I think spam's been around longer than that.
Okay. All right. Well, but that was imported.
No, true.
I guess the spam was imported till not too long ago. And then your cookies are homemade cookies. Orange, or as it would say in Korean, orangey.
Orangey. Yeah, well, it was orange, mocha, or something else that didn't appeal, and I thought orange is
so you got the mocha. What's wrong with the mocha? The mocha's fine.
Really? Mocha cookies?
Jennifer, orange-flavored cookies.
Oh, come on.
Model the...
Shikie.
Shikie, yeah. You see this for sale a lot, like just not like in cans and stuff. You see it like, sold in, Insadong and stuff like that.
So. Yeah, and to me it tastes like, the rice really doesn't add anything to it, but it tastes like you just took a big container of the liquid syrup that you get at coffee shops and put it in a glass.
Would you like to enjoy some of the shikie?
No, I will try an orange cookie.
Okay, all right. I will attempt to enjoy the shikie.
Please do. I don't even drink it at restaurants when it's possibly a finer quality.
Okay, I'm smelling it. It smells weird.
Oh, these are individually wrapped.
Of course, this is Korea. Everything is individually wrapped.
But I thought maybe it's Japanese, they can just put a box of cookies in a box.
Allow me to photograph the individually wrapped cookies. Because people back home...
Oh, it's a homemade recipe even.
Oh, wow. Because people just don't even understand the idea of how everything is like... individually wrapped here. Because you buy this box and it looks like that's a good healthy amount.
Yeah.
Take
a snap of the inside too.
And then you open it up and it's like everything is like individually wrapped and puffed full of air.
Yeah.
So then you're kind of going,
The first time I had a party, I found that out because I bought what I thought was a goodly number of cookies and other kind of snacks to have just around.
Yeah.
And then I got them home, and each box of cookies had six cookies in it. And I thought they had, like, two dozen.
Wow. Now, which leads me to believe either that's kind of intended to sort of, dupe the consumer.
I'm sure.
Or, or snacking technology is so advanced in the West that, we don't have to now put an extra layer of protective wrapping.
Or we're just a bunch of big, fat pigs, and we're going to eat the whole thing within a time frame that it would... not go stale.
Ah, right. That's true. Yeah, because this may this box might last.
Because it does clearly say 18 on the cover.
Right, right. So that might last a good sized Korean family a month.
Yeah.
Yeah. Exactly.
Split. There's two cookies in one package. That's
right.
They each have half a cookie.
Ah, right. Okay. Good. Wait. Let me first have the shikie. I have not. I tried the shikie. I'm just smelling
nice
it.
Orangey aroma.
ugh.
Yeah.
All right, wait. Let me take another hit of that. Because I just kind of expected, like, remember, what was that corn water we had?
Oh, no, this is literally like taking the liquid syrup.
All right.
At the coffee shop and just drinking it, to me, in my humble opinion.
All right, so yeah, so it's not just a rice flavored water.
No, it's incredibly sweet.
Yeah, like, it's quite sweet.
Achingly sweet.
But there's no actual bits of rice in there, is there? Because I'm not getting any in my mouth.
I don't know
if it's all at the bottom of the can or something, maybe. But
orange cookies, I have to say, not bad.
Wait, I took a good hit. I did get some floaty bits in my mouth, which I'm hoping is.
Rice.
Yeah, rice.
You know what's good with floaty bits in it is that grape drink. It's the green grape.
Cocoa Pom?
Yeah.
Oh, my kids love that Cocoa Pom.
I love it. You put it in the refrigerator, of course, but maybe put it in the freezer for just a short time, and then the grapes get very cold and very refreshing.
I was actually going to buy the Cocoa Pom as another snack, but okay, next week I'll try to buy the Cocoa Pom. All right, I'm going to try the orange homemade cookies.
I like them, but I like Lemon Sands.
Oh, yeah, that's true.
The lemon-flavored Oreo-style cookies.
Well, it's not the worst thing I've put in my mouth.
Well, you just had shiké, come on.
That's true. It tastes like orange-flavored shortbread.
Yeah, well, I think that's what they're going for.
8-year-olds have tried to make, you know.
Yeah, not at all homemade, that's for sure.
Yeah.
But for a dollar, not bad.
Wow. You know, that Cocoa Pom, that's, you know, we sell that in our little beverage machine at work. And it's the most expensive thing. Oh. So it's a status item, you know.
Okay.
And the kids all, you know, you're drinking the Cocoa Pom? It's like 100 won more than, it's like 600 won for the Cocoa Pom, 500 won for, you know, the other beverages. And I guess in a nod to health, we've removed the Pepsi and Pepsi.
You know what we should mention? Since, you know, some of the listeners are overseas, is that I do not have enormous hands. If you look at the picture on the website, this is actually a 238 ml drink.
Okay.
So it is the size of the little half cans that you can sometimes buy in the States.
Right, yeah. You could stack another one on top of that.
Yeah. So, it's only a half a drink, actually.
And so one day in one of my essay classes, there was one girl, she was in tears. I guess she got a bad mark on a test, you know, in a Hagwon test, right?
Yeah, right.
Ooh, this is going down on a permanent record, you know. And so she's unconsolable. So I bought her a Cocoa Pom. You know that old commercial, you know, buy the kid a Coke and, you know, and then, you know, Rosie Greer throws him the jersey or, you know.
I loved that commercial, Mean Joe Green.
Oh, right, yeah. Rosie Greer is somebody else's. Okay, yeah, right. Mean Joe Green. All right, well, anyways. So I bought her the Cocoa Pom. And her mood just elevates. And for the rest of the semester, every essay she writes, it's about the kindness of my teacher buying me the Cocoa Pom.
Oh, that's so funny. I had the opposite experience on Friday. With my new kindergarten class that's on Friday mornings, we had watched Ratatouille. And so...
Four Man One?
Hmm?
Four Man One at the...
Oh, no. The school actually rented it, whatever.
Ah, okay.
But, we watched half of it a week ago and then half of it this time. And they eat lunch there. And I said, oh, well, since we're going to finish watching Ratatouille, and it's about, you know, cooking, whatever.
Right.
Pasta. Tell them just to bring their banchan, and I'll make gumbo, which is, you know, it's stew, so it'll seem familiar, but it's, you know, Louisiana style, whatever. Teach them, a little culture lesson.
Sure, yeah.
Thing. Oh, my God.
Oh, yeah.
One of them tried it and was, like, scrunching up his face and was like, oh, no.
Matjukta.
Oh, no, none of them went that far.
Okay. That's my bad Korean for, like, the taste of death.
Three of them wouldn't even try it. Mm-hmm. They just wanted rice. And seriously, one kid ate her whole bowl, but it was obviously, like, the teacher gave it to me. I have to eat it. And I was like, what is your problem? It was gumbo with chicken and shrimp.
Right, okay.
And so, like, all it is
exactly what they eat.
Exactly what they eat every day, but right. I put chicken and shrimp in it right. instead of, yeah. Like, pork.
Yeah, exactly. You can take exactly what they eat, present it in a slightly different way, so it's clearly not Korean food.
Yeah.
And it's, it's horror. Yeah. No, because I talked about this before. I took some good students. I took them by comic books, and then we went for Mexican food. Mm-hmm. Mexican food is rice, chili.
Yeah. Exactly.
You know, yeah. Yupki is what they call it. Yupki, which means bizarre or something. Yeah. Strange, but not isanghan, strange. Yupki. I don't know if that's something even more strange, but. Ugh. All right. So those were our tasty snacks. Oh, I got a little something different. I bought 2 Scratch and Win tickets. So we'll play this on our podcast. And if we win, we could give away money on our podcast, only on the condition we win. Of course, if we won the big money, I could just edit this whole section out. And you would never know. So that you're hearing this maybe implies we didn't win. But yeah, so you do the honors. I've got some lottery playing music too.
Okay.
It's that time
to win, win, win.
Even though the chances, they're slim.
Slim at best.
We're gambling.
We're playing the lottery.
No, we're gambling.
The lottery.
At least we're not sinning.
We're not sinning.
Woo! Don't spend your hard-earned welfare checks anymore on the lottery. We're laying out the cash this time. We're taking care of you. All you have to do is be the first caller when we win the jackpot, and we'll give you some.
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 All right.
Pretty good, huh? All right. All right. So, you scratch. Now, it's kind
both of them?
How much is the prize? Wait, what
the prize is 1,000,000 won. 1,000 people are going to win 1,000,000 won.
Wait, that sounds like a lot, but that's like $1,000.
Yeah.
That's crap. I spent $1 on each of those scratch and wins. Ugh, I bought the wrong one.
Hey, we could have won, but...
Now, describe what you're seeing.
You scratch it, right. And in the top right corner, it tells the prize, because it's a variable prize,
okay.
Each ticket.
All right.
And then you have to match the number in the box to the number
okay.
at the bottom. And the number okay. we had was 17.
All right.
And then the numbers at the bottom were 10, 16, and 7.
So we did not win on that.
We did not win, unless we could, you know,
there's a booby
add
prize.
Some of the numbers.
There's a booby prize scratch section, too. Like, you can scratch twice per ticket.
Yeah, and that one also was for 1,000,000 won.
Okay.
And the number was 4.
All right.
And we had 6, 5, 2, and 9.
Ugh.
Not looking good.
No. So
all right.
We got
another one for 1,000,000
more ticket.
Won.
One more ticket. All right.
The number was 19, and we got 9, 12, and 16.
Oh, okay. This is our last one.
Last one. Another 1,000,000 won. The number is 8. We got 4. We got 7. We got 2 and we got 3. Oh, so close.
Oh, man.
Not really.
Let me see that.
But, you know.
Because you might be lying to me.
Yeah.
No, I just want to take a photo.
I did win 5,000 won once off of a scratch ticket in Korea.
How much?
5,000.
Really?
Yeah.
That's a good chunk of change.
Yeah, but I probably spent like 20,000.
Oh, wait, I gotta tear the ticket up.
Okay. No, when I first came to Korea and they...
Wait, I gotta say, that could be a lottery official. You tear up the ticket. That could be a lottery official.
Okay. I don't get it at all.
Tear up the lottery official. The guy running the lottery.
Oh, okay.
They must have some violence directed towards them, I don't know. Oh, wait, I got closing music too. Hang on.
Oh.
Played the lottery and we lost. We'll win someday, no matter what the cost.
You lost again, you bum. That money was supposed to go to my mother's cancer operation.
Pipe down, woman. Know thy place.
Lottery, it's the lottery. Oh, we'll win someday.
Some way.
God, I hope we win.
Pretty good, huh?
Very good.
Yeah. All right. One of those I might be singing. You would never know. I have an eight-octave range voice.
Wow, you and Mariah Carey.
Mm-hmm. But main topic. This is about biases. our own biases. Wikipedia, they've got this interesting list of cognitive biases. And they're all quite interesting. And I'm big into sort of like, you know, logical fallacies, you know, ad hominem and post hoc and false continuum and all the logical fallacies, straw man, those kinds of things. But then I discovered this idea of biases, which are sometimes they're fallacies, but they're not always quite fallacies.
These seem, I know people that match all of these biases, though.
Yeah. So I mean, you know, so a classic bias is. A classic bias is called a confirmation bias, where you're pretty sure a certain class of people, Canadians, you're pretty sure Canadians are all stupid, right?
Yeah.
And you keep meeting stupid Canadians, you know, that kind of stuff.
Because they're Canadian.
Exactly. But the smart Canadians you kind of don't pay attention to, or you just assume, well, they must be American because they're so smart.
Or maybe you're not smart enough to hang around in places where smart people of any nationality hang out.
Exactly. So that's a sort of classic bias, confirmation bias. And so the first bias, but this is biases I think we as expats experience here in Korea. And you have to be kind of sensitive to it.
Yeah.
And that will improve your situation here, your joy. You will have a much better time when you sort of understand the biases and conquer them. I think
if you have these biases and don't deal with them, it will almost guarantee you'll have a bad experience here.
Exactly, you're in for a really bad time. I just soiled myself. I'm having a coffee frappuccino and kind of just spilled it all.
Well, because I gave you a mug for it, and you got a big thing of it down your right over your G.
I'm wearing my McGill sweatshirt.
It's a very comfy looking sweatshirt. I'm actually kind of jealous.
Canada's Harvard, you know.
I know. I've heard of it. I've heard of it because I came to Korea.
Oh, okay. Yeah. Yeah. I did not go to the... I did not go to McGill.
No, I used to work at a school and they had a former employee who was a McGill graduate.
Really?
And they still had that employee's diploma posted.
Really?
On the wall.
Oh, God. Well, this sweatshirt,
and so that's why I found out McGill was a famous university.
Well, this sweatshirt, it's in, like, our promotional brochures. Like, you know, hey, kids, hey, parents, your kids will be taught by real white people. You know, there's a picture of me in my McGill sweatshirt. So if any parents are kind of in the know about, you know, Canada's Ivy League system, then they'll be like, ooh, they got real McGill graduates teaching. It's like, no, sorry, bait and switch, man. You know, because they don't check a student ID. You can just walk into that McGill, you know, student shop, and you can buy anything.
You can.
Yeah. So, yeah. All right, so first bias. This is comparing the best of your country to the worst of Korea.
Yes.
All right, so my example is, I read the news a lot. And there's always, you know, Chaebols in trouble. Yeah. The Hanwha guy taser gunning people.
Yeah, well, yeah, the Chaebols tend to dominate the business news no matter what.
Exactly. So I have this tendency to compare the worst, you know, Korean malfeasance in the business world to kind of the best business practices of Western companies.
Right.
You know, so it's like General Motors would never do that. You know, Boeing would never do that, right? You know, they've got corporate governance.
Yeah.
And but then it's like, but then you ignore the Enrons, you know, those kinds of things.
Well, but I think you kind of almost can compare the Chaebols to the big companies like that. Except maybe not all of them are publicly traded. Because, you know, they are basically just huge family businesses.
Yeah.
So maybe they could be compared to some kind of non-publicly traded company that gets away with whatever they want to get away with.
But a more prosaic example, I guess, is just, you know, it's kind of like you compare the, you know, the dirtiest parts of Seoul, you compare to the cleanest parts of your city, you know, that kind of thing. The most polite people.
I don't know. I think that you could favorably compare even the cleanest parts of Seoul and the dirtiest parts of Baton Rouge would really not even be all that similar.
Really? You're not helping my bias argument. You're just kind of going, no, your bias is right.
I will say, I live in Bundang, and Bundang is a very nice, clean, orderly place.
Okay.
And there are definitely parts of Baton Rouge that do not match up to Bundang.
Okay.
But as far as Seoul, it's just dirty.
All right.
Sorry. No, I've been to big cities in other places that were similarly dirty, though. So it might just be the fact that Baton Rouge is smaller, and we don't walk anywhere. You just drive, and when you're driving, not like walking around throwing trash on the ground.
You don't see things. You don't get
that's
it.
True
yeah,
too.
Yeah. But here, you're walking around, you're seeing every little thing. Yeah. You got any good examples? Do any of this compare?
Well, you know, people, especially, you know, I speak English.
Yep.
When you meet someone who's just basically an idiot, and by meet them, I mean come into contact with them in any kind of way, you're like, there aren't idiots like this at home. But, of course, there are idiots like this at home, you know.
Right, yes.
You just don't notice them so much. You blow them off, you're like, idiot, and you keep moving. But here you're like, these Koreans, you know.
Exactly.
I would never have to deal with rude people at home.
Exactly, yeah. Number two, and this I've mentioned before, but attributing to malice what can be explained by incompetence or lack of planning.
Because incompetence and lack of planning is pretty much de rigueur for any corporate practices, as far as I can tell.
Yeah. And that tends to happen, I think, a lot here, the lack of planning.
As I say, the last minute is the only minute in Korea.
Yeah. But let me give you an example. Trying to get my visa extension.
Yes.
Right. So I think as we talked about last week, I didn't quite have it yet.
Yes.
All right. So what was now delayed was they lost their little...
Their
stamp. What's the Korean
word?
Tojang?
Yeah, like toe jam, but a little different.
Yeah, Tojang, gochujang, jang sauce. So toe sauce. All right, good. So they lost their toe sauce, and which they got to stamp all the...
And so that's basically like losing your signature.
Yeah, basically, yeah. So it took them a while to get it remade.
Well, yeah, because you have to go back to the same place, and hopefully they've got it on record.
Oh, really?
Replicate it.
Okay.
Because otherwise, it's a whole, like, it's like you lost your thumbprint or something.
Yeah, you got to get a new one made and re-registered. Yeah. So, but now if they tell you that, you can take it one of two ways. You can go, yeah, they're screw-ups. This is just par for the course. Or they're lying to you.
Yes.
And what they're trying to do is they're trying to make you now work illegally, and then they can hold that over you, right?
Or they're trying to make you quit.
Or maybe make you quit, right. You can begin to sort of go, they're trying to screw me over. They're trying to do something.
It's got to be on purpose because they're trying to screw me in some way, mm-hmm. or at least make me angry.
Exactly, yeah.
Yeah, and there are so many people like that here that... I swear, even if the buses are running late, they think it's a personal attack.
they could take it to a very deep extreme, yes.
Yeah. I had a girl, we were friends, I say girl, she's in her mid-40s, and I had to cut her out of my life because it was just a little too much. But
there.
But she would call me all the time, and I was cutting her out, so I wasn't calling her back. And then finally, I just felt a little too guilty, and I was like, right, you know, I've got to call her. Because I knew she was leaving the country, and I was like, okay, I'll call her, I'll see her one last time, and then she'll be out of the country, I'll never see her again.
Okay.
Like, called her, and I was like, oh, you know, I've been trying to call you, but you must not have been home. Well, which of course is a lie, but she didn't have a cell phone, so it was really an easy lie.
Yes, okay.
She totally thought that her school... was somehow intercepting her phone calls,
right?
Like purposefully trying to prevent her from receiving phone calls.
Yeah.
And I sort of talked her through whatever. I was like, well, you know, describe this phone problem. And we finally figured out that the previous occupant of the apartment had the phone plug into their computer.
All right.
For the internet.
Ah, okay.
And so she had moved into the apartment and just had this phone cord that was meant for the internet.
All right.
And she had plugged it into her phone. And so she could dial out for some reason, but she couldn't hear the phone ring. So when I did get in touch with her, she just happened to be picking up the phone at that moment. She hadn't heard it ring.
Good. It's your little cell phone. That's a first. We've never had a cell phone go off during our...
It's Rosa.
Rosa.
Can I take it?
Yeah, sure. Just tell her.
Hi, Rosa. We're recording right now.
Is she out in the countryside?
It's okay. Oh, okay. Oh, do you have a question about the shop? It's okay. Okay, bye.
What's Rosa doing?
She's at Kim and Johnson's with her parents.
Okay.
So she got back a little bit ago, but yeah, still a family day.
All right, good. All right. So yeah.
She said hi to everybody.
Oh, good. Hello, Rosa. Ro, like street, Jong No. It's spelled Jong Ro, but you say Jong No, right?
Yeah.
So Ro is Sa, 4. So she's 4th Street. Rosa.
Yeah.
Yeah. Do you say Rosa or do you say Nosa?
Rosa.
Okay. All right.
Roja.
Roja. Okay. Not the other one is you. Called pricing bias.
Yeah.
Where everything seems so expensive here compared to back at home.
Yeah. I was just talking about that at lunch with a friend. I'm very guilty of that.
Yeah. But this might be like one of those for long-termers here.
Yeah, like
right?
me.
Yeah, exactly. A bit like me too, because I've been, I've been paying American prices in Seattle and then now Korean prices. And, milk struck me as being really expensive here. I'm like, oh my God, milk is so expensive here. Yeah. But then when I went back last Christmas, I'm like, oh wow, milk has actually gone up in price, in 4 years.
Yeah, so, I was looking online at apartment prices, starting to plan ahead for when I go home next year. And what do you know? Apartments cost like $500 or $600 a month now.
Yeah.
I was like, man, it's just so expensive.
Yeah.
And then I look online at home and it's pretty much the same.
Yeah.
But you do get walls with that $500 or $600.
Okay.
It's not like the 4 exterior walls. There's interior walls as well. It's a whole new level.
Yes, okay, right. Well, your bathrooms here have walls.
Yeah, you do have a bathroom wall.
Okay, yes. Yeah.
Rooms, even a bathroom door.
Rooms, yeah. So always, if you've been here for a while and you begin to notice, you think things are so expensive. Prices are going up back at home, too. They're not.
Yeah.
Right. I used to work at a coffee shop, Second Cup, kind of the Canadian version of Starbucks. No monkeys involved in this place, but
so it must be boring.
I always loved the old guys that would come in and be like, because then at that point, this was like, I don't know, 1990, large coffee was like $1, and oh my God, $1.
Yep.
Yeah.
1988, 89, I worked at McDonald's and I opened. And the senior citizens can buy anything and get a free coffee.
Right.
And we would have these old guys. We opened at 4:30 in the morning. And maybe 5.
They're lining up.
They would be lined up and beating on the glass, pointing at their watches. And they'd come in and they'd each get their plain biscuit, which I think was like 35 cents.
All right.
And get their free coffee. And they would sit there until we stopped serving breakfast. So like 5 hours they'd sit there drinking their coffee.
Free refills.
And they would just take the free refill pot to their table and have their own refill pot. And they'd bring it back when they needed
it's
a new pot.
It's much easier that way, actually.
Yeah, they're old. They don't want to walk back and forth all those times. Man, every day. And they'd be, like, complaining about something. I'm like, dude, you got a cup of coffee and a biscuit and, like, 87 refills for 35 cents. What are you complaining about?
But it cost a nickel in their day.
Yeah, right.
But then it's like okay, coffee cost a nickel, right? But... it's like, did you notice that, your house cost $5,000 when you bought it, but it's now worth $300,000?
Right.
Did you notice that, when you go to sell your house, you're going to sell it for $300,000?
Yeah.
So I'm having some trouble having pity that you're paying a buck for a coffee when you bought a house for $5,000 and now it's worth $300,000. You know, that's what happens when prices go up. Yep. You know, you make money one place and then you pay more in another place. But, yeah. You know, but they're not complaining about what they can sell their house for, are they?
Right,
no,
right.
They never heard them that.
And you heard, you can't believe the profit I made on my house. It's just horrible. Back in my day.
Yeah. I know. You know, odd business wants a little bit of that money. You think, if you got some money, we want some of it. I don't know. So pricing bias. Number four, your kids have adult motives.
Yeah.
This is one of the two things I remember from my degrees in child psychology.
Oh, really?
One of the two things I remember from child psychology. No, sorry. Well, actually, one thing. The other one is more university. Electric Jell-O has vodka in it. All right, so that's the other thing. So the two things, remember.
So you got a whole degree and you
right.
learned two things.
Yes.
And you did not go to McGill.
Yeah. So if somebody offers you Jell-O and calls it electric Jell-O, that's not a new flavor of Jell-O. It means there's a lot of vodka in it.
Okay.
And, yeah.
So also known as a Jell-O shot then, in that case.
Yeah. And so I learned that. And also I learned, one of the big common mistakes is you begin to attribute adult motives to children. Even 7-month-old babies, people will do this, right? The parents will do this quite naturally. Like, you know, the kids got the kid all settled down in their little crib and they go to sit down. Baby starts crying. Wah, wah, wah.
Just so I can't sit down.
Exactly. They begin to think, that kid, he knows I'm trying to sit down and watch Lost. He knows when Lost is on, and he knows. He's not even doing it during the commercials, right? They're just about to go into the hatch. And wah, wah. So, yeah. So you have to be very, you have to watch your kids. You have to be very sort of conscious that your children are children, you know?
Yeah, and I'd say at a Hagwon, even the adults might not have adult motives.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So, count their growth rings. You know?
Yeah.
And then you just, you know, they have 7 growth rings. They are a 7-year-old. They're not 17, they're not 27, they're not 37, right? So, yeah, so I'll always try to put yourself at that age,
yeah,
right, and think about the worst thing you did as a child at that age. What was your motivation for doing that? Like, you know, why did you cut up your mother's curtains? Like, you were doing that because you're like, I'm gonna fix you, mom. What, you know, like, you know, no, you're choco like, pie for breakfast. You know, you're giving me the white label cereal. You know,
yeah. More likely scissors. Cool. What can I cut?
Exactly. It just seems the normal thing to do.
Oh, here's something cuttable.
Exactly. Yeah. So.
Or these crayons. I wish I had some paper, but that wall sure looks good.
Exactly. Right. So your kids aren't. Necessarily.
Yeah. They may be out to get you, but not necessarily.
A couple little ones might be, but yeah. But in general, they're not out to get you, right? No, the other one, I call that bias. That Korean is about to do something weird to me. All right. And this usually comes because you've had one or two experiences where Korean really has done something weird to you. Sort of
yes.
come up to you and like done something weird to you. But,
like rub your stomach.
Yeah, exactly. Or, you know, yeah.
Touch your face.
Yeah.
Stroke your arm hair.
Right. Want you to get out of their country and want to fight you because you're a foreigner.
Exactly.
You know, weird things like that, right?
So I've been given candy because America helped Korea during the war.
Oh, really? Okay. That's actually kind of nice, though. That's kind of, yeah.
Yeah, it's still weird, though.
Oh, okay.
Candy from strangers, you know.
That's true, right, yeah. So, yeah. So, but, you know, it's like, yeah, so, like, you know, Korean will suddenly come up to you, and then you're kind of bracing yourself. Are they trying to convert me? Are they trying
yes.
to get free English lessons? And then it's like, oh, I just dropped my umbrella,
yes.
you know, and they're just being kind and giving it to me. So, yeah. So you got to kind of sort of, they're not coming up to you like, bless my children or something,
yeah.
you know.
But they could want to convert you.
Maybe, yeah.
And they could want you to go with them to a second unknown location right away so they can teach you the secrets of their religion, which they can't tell you on a public street.
Exactly. Tell you about the mother of God.
Yeah, the mother's real name. Not that I'm, naming a specific religion or in any way using any identifying characteristics of a specific church in Korea or anything of that nature.
I've got a follow-up to the wacky Jesus guy in our English teacher
excellent.
Fights. Yeah, a couple follow-ups, actually. All right. And let's see. This one is number 6, bias number 6. It can't be better here, and Koreans are silly to think so. Okay.
Yeah.
So remember, my classic example is Korean, talking about Korean beef.
Oh, yeah.
Hangu, right?
Yeah, it's a health food.
Yeah.
Other beef is bad for you.
Exactly.
Korean beef is healthy.
How much better Hangu is than all the other beefs. And now, as a Canadian, from birth, you are schooled that Alberta beef is the best beef in the world, right? And so your natural reaction is like, oh, you silly provincial little Korean. You know, how can you think? Are you not aware of Alberta beef?
Okay.
Don't you get the pamphlets, you know? And, but when you begin to think about it, it's like, well, it's a cow, you know?
Yeah.
What? Cows make the same meat no matter where they are, right?
Yeah.
Pretty much. And how do I know Alberta beef is the best beef in the world other than the fact that Albertans tell me that,
yeah.
Right?
Well, I wasn't raised with any particular beef biases. But
all right.
I just find the fact that any beef would be considered a health food ridiculous.
True. But I'm not talking health. I'm just talking like
taste, quality. Oh, no, no. I've actually been told that Korean beef is good for your health.
Okay, right, yes.
And other beef is unhealthy.
Yeah, that's sort of another dimension. But
yeah.
So, but then it's like, you know, I'm sure if you ask a Texan,
what's the best beef in the world?
He's not going to say, well, it's Alberta beef. You know, we're number two, but okay, right. But Texas is going to go, well, Texas beef. Someone from Montana beef, right. So you got to be sort of kind of cognizant of that, you know, look at your own biases, you know, what you just assume are the best, the greatest, you know.
That's true, but Louisiana crawfish really is the best.
Okay, all right. Well, I'm not.
All the other ones, you're all crazy, but, you know.
All right, I won't fight you on that one. So, you know, when Koreans are like, oh, you know, what was that? Baekdusan. You know, Baekdusan is the most beautiful mountain in the world.
Well, and the healthiest ginseng.
With the what?
The healthiest ginseng.
The healthiest ginseng. Well, that's a point I won't fight them on either. Okay, you can have the ginseng, all right?
Yeah.
Yeah. Things like that. So.
I think that Koreans may be a little bit more enthusiastic with their pride in national products, though.
Is this a bias, right? Okay,
yeah.
let me...
Like, in America, we have, you know, Buy American, but that's more of, like, a job protectionist kind of thing.
Let me give you an example. One thing Canadians hate about going to America is that those goddamn American flags are everywhere. They're always waving the flag. You can't go anywhere and there's not some damn American flag, right? And...
Unlike the Korean flags that line the street right now.
But what you don't realize is if you go to Canada... If you're an American, you go to Canada, or you've been living in America for a while, and you go to Canada, you begin to see Canadian flags everywhere. And it's like, they've got that McDonald's, you know, they got Canadian flags all over the McDonald's. What the hell's up with that, you know? And so it's just one of those things you tune out, you know?
Yeah.
You don't see your own flags, but you see their flags, right? Because it's not your flag. It's not background to you anymore. So...
Yeah, but I've lived in several countries.
Okay.
You know, I've lived in four countries, including the U.S. and Korea. And I notice it more in Korea. I'll just take the U.S. out of it.
All right.
I notice it more here than I ever noticed it in Germany or Australia.
Okay. And I maybe kind of related to that sort of, you know, thing. There are things that are in the background to Koreans that jump out at you.
Maybe.
Yeah. But in your culture, there are things that are background to you that then, you know, if your Korean friend ever visits you in Canada or America, it certainly jumps out at them. You know?
Yeah.
Yeah. So you have to sort of kind of, you got to begin to look at things and go, that really jumps out at me, you know. But how do Koreans see that? Is that just something background to them? You know, it was like, I remember that when they started installing cable boxes in our neighborhoods, you know, they're these green boxes, and all the neighbors were like, oh my God, eyesore. But then it's like, well, look at, you know, you've got transformer boxes, and you've got lamp posts, and you've got, you know, phone boxes.
Why is this the eyesore?
Yeah, exactly. You've got all these things, but you don't notice those anymore because they've been around forever. right? Those might look like eyesores to somebody from another country, or maybe they bury them or they do something different with them, you know. So yeah, important to have those kind of eyes. Number eight, I added one that wasn't on your agenda.
You skip one.
Oh, sorry, number seven. You're right. Thank you. Number seven. It isn't always about me.
Yeah, right. It is always about me. And it may not always be about you, but it's always about me.
And that one's one you should keep in mind, like when you're on the subway or something, yeah. And there's an empty seat next to you, and then someone gets on and they don't sit next to you. Are they not sitting next to you because we don't want to sit next to the foreigner, or do they have legitimate reasons to not sit next to you? It's like, oh, you know, there's a good sleeping seat down.
Yeah.
Sometimes
I don't sit down even if there is a seat, just because I've been sitting down at work all day, and I'm only going a couple of stops anyway.
Ah, okay, yeah. Yeah, if you go a couple stops, I'll stand, but yeah. I don't know. I'm approaching old now, so I don't mind. Sometimes I don't mind sitting, but yeah. Number eight. This is the one that's not in your name. Kids are stupid. Korean, like, I can't... What the hell are these Korean kids into? It's stupid. My example is the Rain look, which is...
Are you talking about the Elf
singer,
Burns?
The singer Rain. The, you know, like the short sleeve hoodie.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
And the hood's up. And they got the aviator police sunglasses or whatever, right? But then they're like on the subway.
Yeah.
Well, it's not that cold and it's not that bright. Why do you need the sunglasses and the hood up, you know? And it's like... That's what Rain. That's how Rain dresses.
In videos.
Yeah, in videos, right?
Probably not really on the street.
But you know, why do you have to dress like that? It's not practical.
Right.
And is anybody gonna think, ooh, you're Rain, or you're just like Rain, or you know what I'm saying? And
but
so
American teenagers do stupid crap like that too.
Well, exactly. But then I think, you know, when I was 14, it was Billy Idol, right?
Yeah.
You know, and I had the. I had the Billy Idol glove.
Glove, yeah. Right? Fingers cut off.
Exactly. And I'm just like, you know what? If Billy Idol ever had a cocaine overdose, you know, went into a coma, I got the glove. I am ready to step into Billy Idol's shoes.
Can you punch the air like him?
Absolutely. Hey, Moni Moni, I can do it. So anyways, shotgun dead, come on Moni. Right. Okay. So anyway, see, I know the Billy Idol thing. So anyways, I was talking about Billy Idol, right? Right. So yeah. But then even my glove too. It wasn't like Billy Idol wears a leather glove, right?
Yeah.
Right, with the fingers cut off, right? But I had like, you know, like the stretchy knitted magic glove.
Yeah.
Well, I cut the fingers off, right? But that seemed completely normal, rational thing to wear.
Because you were a teenager.
When I was 14.
Stupid.
Exactly.
So right. it's not that Korean kids are dumb. It's just that kids are dumb.
Exactly. Yes. Yeah.
I love children.
We do love children. You have any other biases that kind of?
I think you've pretty much covered them. I think that the ones that most people seem to get bogged down with is the thinking that, first of all, comparing the best of their country.
Yes,
like they don't notice the rude people in their country. They don't notice like any sort of trash or dirtiness in their own country, whatever. Right. They come here and they're like, ah.
Yeah.
You know, it's so loud and there's phlegm all over the street and, you know,
exactly.
Someone just spit and nearly hit my foot. You know, we've got weird, gross people at home. We just maybe don't notice them so much or don't go places where they're more likely to be.
Right, yeah.
And also the thinking that your school is really out to get you when really their plan is to show up and see what hits them.
Right, yeah.
You know, like we'll show up and if we find out that we've got to do some... stuff for immigration, right. Then we'll run around like chickens with our heads cut off, and and a week from now, if we're lucky, it'll get done.
Yeah.
All on its own. After we worried about it some.
I hate myself and I want to die. English t-shirt finds.
English t-shirt finds. Jennifer, did you scour up any English t-shirts this week?
I do have a couple.
All right.
Come, let's walk with vigorous steps.
All right. That's using on a t-shirt?
Using the big, you know, wake me up before you go
style.
Style.
Right, okay, right. The big t-shirt.
The big t-shirt with the big font.
All right.
The big printing.
Okay.
Yeah. Heresy chocolate, which I think they were going for Hershey. But
please, for the love of God, buy that.
It was on a student, so, can't really
Sorry, it was a t-shirt. Okay.
Yeah, yeah. It wasn't actually. Like faux chocolate.
All right, okay.
No, it was a shirt that said Heresy Chocolate.
Okay.
And this one is a notebook find. It is a beauteous morning, calm and free, to prepare meals for you and me.
That almost rhymes. Wow.
Makes no sense, but it rhymes.
All right. I was looking. I take a really close look at that. The red wine we were talking about last week.
Jello.
The Ginro.
Finest wine that 500 won can buy you.
Yeah, I was debating about bringing it in as the snack of the week. I might bring it in next week. I don't want to just bring in a bottle of wine and
it only
Starbucks.
Comes in a honking big size. It doesn't have like the little mini size.
Although you could crack open it. I've seen people drinking beer on the subway here.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, come on. Who hasn't sat outside a mini stop and had a drink?
Absolutely, yeah. Well, I haven't, but we've got to...
Really? Oh, that's one of the finest things about Korea.
I was going to say...
Street drinking.
We have to do that before I leave, but it'll be winter.
Yeah.
Yeah, this is the brilliance of my plan. I will be leaving Korea just as the weather's getting better to go back to Canada, where it'll be, March, and it will still be 20 below.
Seriously?
Yeah.
20 below.
Sure. Depending on which part of Canada. But it definitely gets into the negatives. Well, Celsius, which is still below freezing. Yeah. Yeah.
That's really cold.
Where I come from, we can still get snowstorms into April. Yeah. So,
You're
just looking at me like, this is not a possible world. Snowstorms in April. How can that be?
I don't know. Every now and then I think, America is not really the great country it used to be, and maybe Canada
would not
be so bad.
But
when you say things like snow in April,
right.
And you say things like 20 below ever, I don't know. Which is worse, Bush or lots of snow?
Yeah.
Not really sure.
He'll be leaving soon.
Yeah, anyway. His legacy will live far beyond lifetime.
The Korean red. This is the this is the Ginro.
I like the little touch of French there.
Yeah,
to make it seem like it's a palatable wine.
Yeah, mise en bouteille par Ginro Limited, which just means I think mise. Bottled for Ginro.
So all they wrote was it was bottled for Jill-O.
Ginro, bottled for Ginro, yeah. What mise à jour, mise. I think this means, I think it might mean special. Mise might mean special or imply special or something. Mise à jour, mise en garde. So it might just be French for like specially bottled for or something. But yeah, but everything else on the label is English. But then in the right below the product of Korea, they could have said produit de Korea. Produit de Corée, and spell it with a C.
Yeah, but putting just that little touch of French in there that in no way affects the understanding of the product of Korea.
No, yeah.
Does make it seem like it might be a little bit nicer class of a wine than it is.
Yeah. But the wines we enjoy all have that, so we must put that.
Yes.
You know what it means? No. But it must go on.
Yeah.
All right.
I wonder if they thought it was English.
And then, Ginro Cellars, Ginro Cellars, with the C, that Cellars. Ginro Estates.
Yeah.
They're a state wine. 1,000. That bottle's 1,700. And they've got competition now. This is Hill Plus, which may be only...
Any wine with plus in the title, that pretty well guarantees that it's like the lowest quality possible.
Yeah. This might only be available at Home Plus. Hill Plus, Home Plus, yeah. And then their wine says... the Hill Plus wine is made from the grapes, which have the best quality. Okay, good to know. Your heart will be met, the vital power by Hill Plus wine. Your heart will be met, the vital power will be met by the vital power, with the vital power, on the vital power? I don't know. And what is the vital power? Why do you want that in your wine? I don't know. Yeah. So maybe next week I'll bring that. Yeah. But what I like about the Jinro is the Jinro has a nice kind of like crest. Like they've been watching Falcon Crest on the Olive Network, you know, reruns. I don't know that one was Falcon Crest on in the '80s, you know.
Yeah.
And the Sonoma Valley version of Dallas. And So I think they were just sort of watching Falcon Crest, and they're like, I guess we need a crest.
We need a crest.
But the Hill Plus, they got this kind of a Germanic shield device, kind of. So I don't know. And then you know that truck I've always been taking photos of. They keep putting the no parking sticker on, and then as it builds up, they tear them all off and they repaper it. It's gone now. Yeah,
this I wonder if it got towed.
I don't know. This is October. Okay. And I've been photographing it since May.
Wow.
It's been a little, it's art project. And I got to fill time in my life.
You only teach like 4 hours a week.
I know. I say I work 4 hours a day and I don't speak the language. I can't talk to anybody here. I got to do something with my time.
And since studying the language would not be an option?
No. No. But what I'm going to do a Korean back in North America.
Get along in Korea while you're here?
I get along just fine. International language of, here's some cookies. So the truck is gone. And now in October, so May, June, July, August, September. Nearly half a year it sat there.
Well, since you noticed it, and you only noticed it after it became, like, sticker encrusted.
Yeah, exactly. So, and now there's just this kind of greasy spot on the pavement where it just sat for half a year practically.
Gone but not forgotten.
Yeah, I know. I had no idea where it went. I don't know if did the guy come back and actually pick it up and like...
Oh, wow. Maybe I should have picked this up sooner.
Exactly. Wow, look at all these no parking stickers. Why would they do that? Yeah, I don't know. Yeah.
No parking. What does that mean?
And then I found this Italian restaurant called The Homie.
Which, of course, just makes me think of In Living Color.
Yeah, exactly. In Living Color. Homie the Clown. Homie don't play that no more. Yeah. But I'm like, why would you call your Italian restaurant The Homie? I don't know. Because there's this new English lessons on Korean TV called Homie English.
Are you serious?
I'm not jiving yet. Yeah. The Homie. And then the Korean's even better. The Homie. The Homie.
Yeah.
Yeah. So it's even more street, you know?
Yeah.
So that's if you saw that Italian restaurant in North America, you might be afraid to go into that. I don't know. Yeah. That'd be one rough and tumble. Yeah. And there's a coffee chain here called Flannel, which is a strange name for coffee, Flannel.
I like the whole name, though.
Yeah. And then their slogan is...
Than ever before.
Than ever before.
Flannel than ever before.
And their logo is like a ball of thread.
Yeah.
Yeah. So I don't know why you would want to associate... Well, I mean, flannel is warm.
Yeah.
Coffee is warm. Yeah. And then, but then there's than ever before. More than ever before. Less than ever before.
It's more flannel than ever before.
More yeah. Now with real flannel. Awesome. You don't get that at Starbucks or Seven Monkeys Coffee.
Indeed.
Yeah. But you actually get like a rather tasty cookie if you go there. Yeah. But then it's like, you know, $5 for a coffee.
Yeah. So they might as well give you a cookie.
Yeah. One of my coworkers, really nice guy, really good English, Spanish, reads Spanish, and Korean guy. And he wanted to know, his friend wants an online ID, and his friend wanted the online ID, the boy next door, but that was taken. So he wanted to know, could he use the boy next to? And I'm like, well, next to what?
Yeah.
Dot, dot, dot. But if you say, called yourself the boy next to, dot, 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 that might be okay. The dot, dot, dot. But no, you can't use three dots in your online, you know, ID. All right. So I'm like, well, how about, you know, the boy next door to the boy next door? He's like, ah, clever. Yeah. Or you could just call, you know, the next boy. The next boy. Ah, like she's dated the boy next door and now you're the next boy. Yes, very good. Ah, so he writes those down. I don't know what he's done with them, but he's a nice guy. Yeah. And, I guess this is a Korean version of the jug band. You ever see a jug band?
Not live, only on TV.
Okay, all right.
Louisiana is not hillbilly, okay? We do not have hills.
Really?
We don't have billies for the hills.
Well, I just thought if you got sort of south of Michigan, it was all jug bands everywhere you went. Okay. All right, so there's actually a geographic jug band location.
Yeah.
Oh, you got the Cajun music, right?
That Louisiana. Yeah, we got Zydeco. I have actually seen accordion music played live.
Electric accordion?
I don't know.
Yeah, all right. So yeah, but this is the Korean version of the jug band. It's a soju band, where, and you can see from the picture, I got a little picture here on our agenda, and it's just a whole bunch of soju bottles all lined up, and some strange like mouth device or something. Yeah, I saw this. They're playing this, but they were the little strange little band with their soju bottles, but they were right next to like the little street preachers, and drowning them out. So I'm like. More power to you.
Yeah.
I don't know. Yeah.
Using alcohol to drown out the sound.
Yeah.
Of the street preachers.
Yeah, absolutely. And then what are those dancing women under the balloons? What are they called? Doemi?
Yeah, helpers.
Okay, right. The Doemi women that dance. You know, open up a shop. Yeah. So on my way home, there's a little grocery store that's opened it up. And of course, they got to get the, you know, the balloon arch dancers.
The balloon arch, the blow up giant creature thing.
This is your typical sort of, you know, non-high commercial district. So very narrow sidewalks. And then the sidewalks are themselves filled with, you know, boxes and people selling things and you know, so, and gosh, pedestrians. Can you imagine?
Yeah. You know? Are there vehicles on this road as well?
So
why not?
So the balloon arch women had no place to dance but in the street.
Nice.
Yeah. So they're like, but they're doing it one at a time, you know.
Well, yeah, of course they have to take turns.
Yeah, take the point, you know.
One has to be really bored and talking into the microphone, and the other one has to be really incredibly enthusiastically giving it all she's got.
Yeah. So she's definitely spending a lot of her time with her body oriented towards oncoming traffic.
Yeah.
Which is, it kind of thrown her rhythm off.
Yeah.
Yeah. I wish I could have got a picture of that, but that would just seem like, I don't know.
That would kind of need a video, though, to show her, like, watching for the oncoming traffic as she's swinging her head around.
Yeah, I never thought about that. Yeah. See, if I was the grocery store guy, I would have set up, like, one of those mirrors on the other side so she could always, no matter which way she's looking, she could see oncoming bungo trucks.
To go back to one of our biases that we had earlier, Korean employers may not be 100% concerned with the safety of their workers.
Or life is cheap here.
Yeah.
Okay.
They don't have workman's comp as far as I know.
I felt sort of sorry for her, yeah.
Whenever I see those girls, I feel bad for them, though. I mean, they've got to feel kind of silly out there in their little cheerleading outfits. Or I got a picture a couple months ago, like in a harem outfit.
Oh, great.
Just in the middle of a pedestrian square. Advertising an eyeglasses shop maybe it was a soup restaurant.
There was a someone published a list, I think it was in Korean, but it got translated into English on what somebody's blog. Korean person was trying to give advice to other Korean people, like, you know, common mistakes we make in North America. Mm-hmm. And like, for example, don't verbally abuse cops.
Yeah. Don't hit the cop, you know, don't push him away.
Yeah, because surprisingly, a lot of traffic cops in North America are actually career police officers, professionals. They're not just 18-year-olds too skinny to be in the army, and they're given the crap, you know, traffic duty.
And also, it's a crime.
Yeah, some guy in Korea in Toronto got like beaten up by the cops because he kind of did that. He just sort of thought, well, I can mouth off to cops, you know, and
sure you can if you don't mind having a billy club to the back of the head.
If you are polite to officers, they will be polite to you. But if you start mouthing off, they're gonna like, eh, let's resist an arrest, you know? Yeah. So there was all these charges of police brutality and stuff like that. But you're kind of going, I think he didn't understand what how the difference in treating cops.
Cultural differences.
Yeah, little cultural differences.
In America, you just shut up, give them what they ask for while you're shutting up.
And one of those,
you politely thank them and go.
And one of the ones was, if you see dogs, cats, and pigeons in the street, do not try to kick them.
Yeah. Also a crime.
So, and somebody, when they posted on their blog, in the English blog, someone kind of, you know, the apologists, someone was like, well, I've never seen any of these in Korea. And
okay.
Other people are like, are you nuts? How long have you been here only 3 days? You know, like, and while I saw the pigeon kicking, I guess I never saw someone kind of kick a dog. But then yesterday I was in Myeongdong and some guy was like sitting next to a puppy. And like every time the puppy sort of poked its head up, he would whap it on the top of the head.
Oh,
yeah, the puppy would then go down. And then the puppy would raise its head up again. It's a puppy.
Yeah.
And it's like, and whap, on the top of the puppy's head would go down. And I'm like, ooh, that's not so nice.
Yeah.
I don't know. But that was not the most pathetic thing I saw that week. Monday, when I actually went second time to get my visa.
Were you successful?
Yeah, so I was successful. Okay. And I went extra early. And last time it took me like 2 hours. This time it took me like 30 minutes because I went like 9:30 in the
morning.
Getting
there early is key.
Yeah, for sure. So I had lots of time. So I'm kind of wandering through Insadong. And the little information booth is early in the morning. In the information booth, someone, you know, a little street bum decides that's a good place to sleep. And but the guy who runs the information booth, he wants to get in. And the guy is sleeping in front of his door. And the ajumma wants to clean up around, you know. And he's, you know, there's soju bottles around him. I don't know if they're his or just people are just like, where can I put this? Oh, look, that garbage can looks like a bum. I'll just put it there. You know what I mean? So
the,
yeah.
The bum-shaped garbage can.
Exactly. So the ajumma wants to clean up around him. But he doesn't want to wake up, you know.
Well, then maybe the soju bottles were his.
Yeah. So the ajushi is just screaming at him, and the ajumma's kind of poking him with her broom.
Oh my god.
Yeah. And then I'm like, oh, I gotta try and film this, you know.
Wait, can I film the homeless guy getting mopped?
Yeah. So I'm like, oh, you know, that would be too obvious. I got to find like a safe vantage point. So I kind of circle around a couple of times, you know, like the
much like a good shoe fight. Koreans may not want to be filmed
exactly.
Mopping a homeless guy.
The vulture I am. And, you know, I'm circling. And so I find a pretty good vantage point. But by this time, they've got the bum roused. And the poor guy, this is where my heart now went out to him. He can't even stand. He's like dragging his sort of ass along the pavement. You know, like a dog will do.
Oh.
You know, and he's shaking. And I'm like, oh, that's really sad looking, this guy sort of dragging him. Yeah. So okay, I won't videotape that. That's, yeah. You know, people hit by a car, you know, people fainting. I'll do that, but I don't know. Something about this poor shivering bum, I was kind of like, I can't really. But what I did manage to videotape last week, when we were after the podcast, you know, I take the bus home and I get off at the Myeongdong, and you got to walk by the Catholic Church in Myeongdong.
Yeah.
All right. And all the people are coming out of Mass, the Catholics, they're Christians.
Yeah.
All right. God, Jesus, all right, and they pray to them,
yeah,
all right, or they're the same or something like that. Anyway, so then outside there's this, you know, kind of well dressed lady, kind of like wearing a pantsuit, Hillary Clinton ish kind of,
okay,
and she's shouting at the Catholics. I'm not sure what she's shouting exactly, but probably something along the lines of, you know, apostasy, you're going to burn in hell.
Yeah.
You know.
Go to my church or, you know, pay the price.
Exactly. And then the philosopher in me is like, wait, haven't these people already made their Pascal's wager? You know, they wagered on God, right? Okay, so they've made their wager. But now what? Now you're telling me you can wager on God, but you might not have wagered on the right God. You might not have wagered on the right religion, the right creed, you know, the right, you know, doctrinal interpretation.
Yeah.
Clearly, this woman thinks they've made the wrong wager. They've got a lot more wagers to make. So she's shouting at them. I'm thinking, well, that's pretty rude, you know?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, that is pretty bold to go stand outside a church and proselytize.
Yeah. Because
although, then again, maybe they are actually the best people to proselytize to, because at least they're interested in going to church.
That's true. Right, yeah. You're right. It's like when you make a donation. Your name goes on a list, and they sell that mailing list to other people who want donations. Because who is more likely to give donations? Somebody who's donated, right? Yeah. So, yeah, that's good.
So, like, the church people who go and proselytize outside the bars in Itaewon, maybe they'd go stand outside of churches.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, a small waste of your time. Right? Yeah. So then a couple of sort of ajushi sort of come out, and they kind of begin to sort of push the woman, you know, sort of shove her along.
In a good Christianly way.
Yeah, sure, yeah. So I'm kind of videotaping this. I didn't get a great, because it is getting dark and I'm trying to be very discreet, and so it's on YouTube right now. And anyway, I'm kind of like standing there, because I don't want to just sort of, I want to see if maybe she lights up again. It's like this, now I'm emboldened, I can get a better vantage point. And then she sees me, right? And now it's definitely one of those. It is all about you. So she comes up to me, and she's, you know, in English. She's like, you know, do you believe in God? And I'm like, no, I don't. So she's like, oh, you know, God made you. And I'm like, I think actually my parents made me. I don't believe in God. You believe in God, that's great. You believe in Jesus, that's good. But, you know, I don't. Thank you. Oh, Jesus, oh, God, oh, Jesus. I don't know, on and on and on and on. And so I'm just sort of standing there. I'm like, how long can she keep going, right?
Forever.
Yeah. So then I put my headphones on. Lockpad, right? And she's still going, oh, Jesus, oh, no, no, no. So
you're still standing there, but now you got your headphones on?
I got my headphones on, right? I'm like, okay.
So you're too polite to walk away.
Correct, yes.
But...
No. I'm not polite to walk away. I'm not walking away because, well, one, I don't want to back down, and two, I want to see how long can she keep going. All right, oh, Yesu. All right, Yesu. That's Korean for Jesus.
Yeah.
All right, which might be closer to the actual real Jesus's Hebrew or.
That's what they call him in Germany.
Oh, okay. All right. All right. So
I think actually maybe some of the early. Missionaries might have been German or something, because they use a lot of the German.
Oh, I didn't know that.
Well, then again, maybe I'm just thinking it's German because I heard those when I was in Germany, but other European languages might also use them as well. I'm not sure.
That might explain another point I'm going to make later, if I can remember. All right. So, So then I'm like, okay, now I got to up the ante. So I put my sunglasses on. It's getting dark now, so I can't even see. All right, so fine. So now I got my sunglasses on. Now, meanwhile, people are walking by, you know, and here's this guy with his headphones on and sunglasses on, foreigner, and this, now to them, this crazy old lady is like, yay, you know, shouting at him about Jesus and God. So, you know, and, you know, like one Korean steps on a foreigner's foot and all the other Koreans are all like, they feel guilty. You know? So I don't know what they're thinking about this. So
better him than me.
Yeah, exactly. I'm taking one for the team. And so then I'm like, okay, how can I up the ante now? So then I pull my newspaper out of my backpack and I just start reading it. She can't even see my face. So then she sort of gave up the ghost.
So how long?
Well, you know, it seemed like 2 or 3 hours, but I'm sure it all transpired in about 10 minutes or 5 minutes or I don't know.
Well, it was long enough for you to take out headphones and then take out sunglasses and then take out a paper.
Yeah.
And presumably you didn't do that in quick succession.
Not that quick, yeah. saw it at all.
That's pretty funny.
But then the crazy Jesus guy with the wears the dress now and the pit helmet with the sign and carries around the cart. And I noted too that his cart has a combo lock. Because there is no
the other proselytizers might be jealous and try to steal it at night.
There is no honor among street preachers. So after the crazy Jesus lady, I'm walking along and I see the guy's cart and he's got it locked up to a fence post or to a lamp post. He must be going to the washroom or something. I don't know how he's going to the bathroom in that little getup. But so anyway, but then what I notice is so he's got the little chain lock. Now you think that the best thing is. The chain lock should then attach to the metal part of the cart.
One would think,
right. But instead what he does is he has the chain lock attached to a bungee cord, all right, which is then attached to his cart.
So all you have to do is unhook the bungee cord?
Untie the bungee cord, cut through the bungee cord, right? It's weakest link, you know? And
a bungee cord is basically just a thick piece of elastic.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
Not really a foolproof, thief deterrent.
Exactly. So why not just dispense with the chain lock and just, tie the bungee cord up to the lamppost or something? Because you're not, it's not foolproof. It's just kind of a like slowing somebody down.
Yeah.
Right. I don't know. So that was my fun on Sunday. Oh, the Germans. One thing I did notice is, right across from the Catholic Church, there's a shop that sells graven images.
Yeah.
Jesus and Mary. And
you're talking about the over the GS25?
Probably, yeah. Yeah.
There's a GS25, and on the top of the GS25 sign is a huge Mary.
Could be, yeah. Yeah. They sell a bunch of little statues.
Yeah.
The Holy Family. Yeah, they got like baby Jesus, but then they seem like they got baby Mary or something. I don't know. But they all have these blue-tinged eyes, which I thought was kind of strange. Semitic
yeah.
people, blue eyes. But they're not blue, the pupils, but like the whites of their eyes are kind of a blue tinge.
Hmm.
Yeah. So I don't know.
Yeah, because all those people from that part of the world have blue eyes.
Exactly, yeah.
Blonde hair, but, rosy pale skin.
But it's been noted that, that Jesus kind of changes to become more like the culture, So that in the West, we tend to have very white blonde Jesuses, right?
Yeah.
And I remember my grandmother always had the blonde Jesus picture up in her dining room, And I'm pretty sure Jesus didn't have blonde hair, right?
Yeah.
And then you go other places, it's a darker Jesus, And but you think in Korea, they would have more Asian. Because I guess like Japan and China.
Relatively.
Yeah, yeah.
But, swarthy, perhaps.
Yeah. But no, it's sort of a blonde, or not blonde, but very white, kind of blue-tinged-eyed Jesus. But curiously, the Mary has actually Asian features.
Oh, really?
Yeah. So I don't know. I don't know. Yeah.
So it really was a miracle birth.
Yeah. Yeah, that's true.
In Korean news.
In the news, so there's the big meeting between the two Koreas, Ro and what's his name, Kim Jong Il. All right, so Kim, yeah, they had that big meeting, and what was the Western press? They almost had the same headline, scowling Kim Jong Il. He didn't look happy at all, if you noticed.
Well, actually, the one picture that I noticed, because I really just tend to ignore all that North Korea stuff because it's almost happened and then not gone through so many times. Like,
yeah.
I just don't believe that
right.
it's actually going to go through to completion. But they were at a car factory, presumably to show the fantastic quality
right.
of...
In North Korea.
Of North yeah. Korean goods. And they pulled a car off the end of the assembly line, and it wouldn't start.
Yeah.
but they were all laughing. Even Kim Jong-il was laughing.
Oh, okay.
So, yeah. Yeah, well, then again, maybe he was laughing at the time because everyone else was laughing, and then later that guy's family's going to be dead. But
yeah, exactly.
Who knows?
Buried to their neck, and then...
Yeah.
Oh, boy, yeah. But there was some sort of stink about how that Roe... you know, that the protocols, Roe was not accorded kind of a first world presidential protocol that, you know, that who greeted him and where he was, you know, where he was sort of lodged and at what time, you know, Kim Jong-il?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Came to visit him, et cetera, is more in keeping with, like, you know, third world African potentate versus, you know, first world, like China or something.
Versus, like, the one leader in the entire world who is both in a position to give something to North Korea and inclined to do so.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
Okay, yeah, just put him in his place.
Yeah, and which may sort of go, that's kind of odd.
Yeah.
But it makes sense in light of that, you know, that eventually the Koreas are going to reunite, and
yes,
one is going to be in charge.
And yeah, and it's pretty clear which one.
Yeah, so the
one with electricity.
Refrigerators. So, but North Korea, you know, like in the 60s and even the early 70s, you know, North Korea was, you know, really well supplied by Russia.
Yeah.
And so they actually had a pretty big GDP compared to South Korea.
Yeah.
And so North Korea was always kind of the older brother in the relationship. And so North Korea still believes that continues, that they are the older brother. And to the point where they're like, if they can't claim it any longer economically, they, you know, it's like, what's Tangun? You know, Dangun, that, you know.
Oh, yeah.
Yes.
The mythological.
Yeah.
Oh,
no.
Of
not
Korea.
In North Korea. He is.
No.
He's real, and they have discovered his tomb.
Oh,
yeah.
Good.
And so they've got the mountain, they've got his tomb, right? So they to this day, they tend to now view themselves as being the real Korea.
Okay.
Their women don't dye their hair.
Because they don't have hair dye?
Well.
I bet they don't have plastic surgery either.
Probably not, no. So,
or, you know, lots of fillings.
Yeah. So, you know, definitely that I think North Korea is trying to signal that, you know, well, we are the older brother. Why should the older brother accord the younger brother respect, you know?
Yeah.
Other than all that food aid.
Yeah. The food aid, the factories that we're allowing to be built here because they give us money to do it.
So that was kind of interesting little thing.
Yeah.
But I don't know if anything's coming out of that. Oh, then Roe, he really stuck his foot in his mouth. There's something called the Northern Limit Line, on the west coast. There's a what they call it, the Northern Limit Line, where North Korean ships do not go south, and South Korean ships do not go north, and that's where they really fight it up there to this day.
It's really serious.
They shoot at each other, yeah. And for all intents and purposes, it's a border.
Yeah.
Yeah. But then Roe made a comment. He said, I don't really view it as a border. And it's just kind of a line on a map. And now his military, they're all like, why have we been shooting at each other? Why have South Korean soldiers been dying over this, not a border. You know, they're rather quite pissed off about that, to the point where they're like, if I comment, I will be committing treason. You know, I will say something that is treasonous,
right?
Almost. Yeah, that kind of threw people for a loop.
Yeah, because that's pretty serious. That's because of the terrain of Korea. That's actually the easiest way to cross.
That little part of the ocean.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, doesn't the Han River, does the Han River kind of flow out into North Korean?
I have no idea.
I don't know. It looks, or if not, it's very close. The Han River is not actually used as a shipping lane, although it flows right out into the what the Koreans call it, the West Sea. The Chinese, what the hell do the Chinese call it? They call it the Yellow Sea or something like that. Yeah. So, oddly, Korea's not pissed off about Yellow Sea being on
maps. Well, because it's not the Chinese Sea or the Sea of China.
Well, that's true, yeah.
I think it's the claiming of it.
Right. East
makes
sea,
them.
Sea of Japan.
But I think, yeah, whatever.
Yeah.
Although, I could see East Sea more than West Sea.
Yeah, that's true.
Because the West Sea is very clearly only west of Korea, whereas the East Sea, it's also east of
Asia.
Asia.
Yeah, the whole continent, correct, yeah. So that's why I don't get too hyper about that East Sea thing, because I'm like, well, yeah, I mean, it is east of, it's not east of Korea, per se, it's just east of the whole continent.
Yeah.
That's fine.
Yeah, my students always, I have a huge map. In my room. They always have to check that out first, and they, oh, it's a good map.
Yeah.
It says EC, and I really always want to just point out to them, it was printed in Korea. You know? Yeah. Really, really not a mystery why it says EC.
Do they check next to see if Israel's on the map? Oh, good. Israel's not on the map. Occupied Palestine. Good. It's a good map. All right.
Not at all.
All right. Yeah. So, and the other big news was the Nazi bar in Uijeongbu. Did you hear about
it? They have another Nazi bar?
Yeah, there's apparently a new Nazi bar, which you think were well put asunder, you know, decades ago. But yeah, there's a big stink about a Nazi bar now in Uijeongbu.
That was the big thing, like, oh God, it's got to be maybe 7 or 8 years ago now.
Yeah.
All the Nazi bars, well, I'm going to say all, like, I think it was like 3 Nazi bars in Seoul, where they all had all the... they wore SS uniforms or style uniforms, the wait staff, and the memorabilia was on the walls. And or would you call it memorabilia? What is that? You know what I mean, like artifacts or whatever.
The Hard Rock Cafe of
The Hard Rock Cafe of
Hitler's guitar,
the Third Reich,
right?
And then surprisingly, the German and Israeli embassies were protesting. Really angry, and they were actually talking about boycotts, and it was really serious. And Koreans were like, "What do you mean you're upset about this? Why would you be upset? It's just costumes."
Ilsa.
Like, really, really did not get it at all why anybody would find it offensive.
Ilsa of the SS. We even thought that was just 1-4.
Yeah.
Oh, that's not even a joke. Anyway, I'm just trying to think of Ilsa of the SS.
Yeah. They're like, oh, it's not our war. It's not our culture. So, you know, it's not bad for us to have it.
Yeah.
Like, but okay.
But I still think if I opened up a garden store, I'd call it the Pol Pot Garden Center or something like that. But yeah. No, but I wouldn't be very sensitive to Cambodians.
Yeah.
Or the Cram Shack, the Pole Cram Pot or something. I don't know. But so they interviewed the guy, and he's just like, they're asking him all these questions. Well, do you know that the Germans would have certainly put Koreans in concentration camps? Oh, I didn't know that. The guy just had no clue. He just
no clue whatsoever.
He just saw a neat movie on TV, and you're like, wow, those guys look so cool.
Yeah. And really sharp-looking uniforms.
Yeah, and that's basically the extent of it. We've talked about this a long time ago, that it's not a part of their history. And,
yeah, so they don't really study about it.
Exactly.
They don't really know about it. And to go back to one of our little biases at the beginning of the hour, not really outwardly concerned not really empathetic to other cultures.
Yeah. So I don't know. But the other thing too, it's kind of like, you know, it's like to blame the Germans for anything is almost to excuse Japan in even the slightest. From an educational standpoint, there's not a big drive here to teach that Germans were behind a lot of the. You know, we're almost like, well, they were the ones who gave. We're almost taught, like, the Germans gave the Japanese the permission to conduct their war, you know. And we do not want to absolve Japan of any blame. So to even mention Germany might involve that, so yeah. And then the update on that woman professor with the fake degree. And then I guess her... It's not her lover in the Blue House, which is the Korean White House, who sort of financed her rise to fame. So her and that guy, they've been arrested now.
Yep.
So yeah, like, I guess there was a tug of war between like the prosecutor office and the courts or something. One wanted to arrest them, the other was like, no, don't arrest them.
I mean, the woman's been ruined.
Yeah.
Like, What are they gaining by putting her in jail? Like what danger has she posed to society?
She was uppity.
Right. You know, it's just so ridiculous because, I don't know, to go back to our biases, Koreans are so concerned with title. And yeah. Like, you go into a little mom and pop shop and the people are calling the guy Sajangnim, like president. You
oh,
know,
really?
Like, oh, president of your corporation, the Five Pyong convenience store.
Wow.
okay, whatever. Like, there's, like, self-aggrandizing is almost the law here, you know. So just because someone got caught at being good at it,
yeah,
you know, I don't think that they should really be put in jail for it.
Yeah. Well, they've been arrested as a flight risk, so I guess that was the what they finally just figured out they could arrest them for.
Well, okay. Is it a flight risk because in the future they might want to arrest them for something?
Maybe something like that, yeah.
Okay.
Well, I mean, she did flee to New York.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, she has proven that she's a flight risk.
But she also came back, so...
Yeah, but being a flight risk from an embarrassing situation and being a flight risk from, like, prosecution are two different things.
Wow.
You know, when she left before, she was just embarrassed and in running away from the press. You know, that's not really a crime.
Well, that's true, too.
No.
This week's teaching opportunity.
Job opportunity of the week. We got another email. This is actually from JD, who wrote the first email about Epic.
Okay.
And he's kind of responding to
Jay. To our rebuttal
Jay,
response.
Yeah, yeah. Well, I mean, don't worry, Jay. He's not flaming you or anything in this.
Okay.
He's just trying to provide some contrast and more information.
Perspective. Yeah. Yes.
So, but I'm liking this because it's like. The show's just writing itself now, you know?
Yeah.
We got people like...
Come on, keep the mail coming.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. So another one of our listeners offered to send us English t-shirt pictures.
Oh, great.
Yeah, so I'm like, hey.
Send them.
More that it's writing itself, all right. So let's see. So JD, yes. JD was the one who... Remember, he was Korea University. Yeah.
Okay.
Right, so JD writes.
I don't remember last week, so you know, I'm not going to remember somebody from a while back.
Actually, I like JD's subject. The Epic Kids are all right.
Yeah.
For you young people, that's like the name of a Who album. The Kids are all right. I don't mind, but the guys are dancing with my girl. My kid, 8-octave of range.
Excellent.
Yeah. All right. So JD writes, I'm glad to hear that I'm not the only Epic kid that listens to Soul Survivors. Everyone I run into here doesn't listen to podcasts. We'll have to work on that. Click on those Google ads, kids. Things have been continuing to be going good here. I finally got out of that Love Motel.
Oh, him. Okay.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Okay, sorry. Yeah, right. Him, the Love Motel guy.
Yeah. I've had to live in a Love Motel myself, so.
Okay, yeah.
It's pretty scummy.
And into a pretty nice apartment. Generally, it has been apparent that my school wants me here and wants me to like my experience here. It was really great to hear about another Epic teacher experience on your last show. I have quite a different experience than Jay when it comes to co-teaching and my classes. I have received no guidance in regards to what to do in class. When I asked what they wanted, the response was that my colleagues think that by merely seeing me, my students will be motivated to learn English by something other than the business end of a love stick. Yeah, we talked about that. Imagine if I actually touch the students like a faith healer. Instant fluency. Yeah. Other than a couple of them ending each lesson in grammar with, oh, that's like this sentence in the Bible. Yes. I've encountered those English teachers. Bible English, they call it.
Yeah.
But
yeah,
it's like,
in Chungju, they had a free hagwon. It was the Mormons.
Okay, all right. But I'm always like, Bible, why Bible English? Like...
Because they're proselytizing in English.
Yeah, but
so the people get their free English lessons, and the church gets to proselytize. Oh, okay. So everyone's happy.
I just thought maybe Koreans think that the Bible was originally written in English, you know.
That'd be really funny.
You know, it helps our understanding. But I'm thinking, if you really want to understand the Bible, then learn Greek and Hebrew, right?
Yeah.
You know, or ancient Greek and Hebrew. You know, if you want to get that closer understanding or something. But have you ever...
Yeah, the Bible that I was brought up reading was not any kind of grammar that I would ever use any other time in my life.
Yeah,
that's for sure.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. King James Version, right? Yeah.
Yeah.
But we're Catholic, so we can actually use funkier versions too.
Yeah.
Then you were in you grew up in the 70s, didn't you have like Jesus Christ Superstar inspired,
yes.
You know, but you know, the Hippies Bible and the Good News.
Oh, we had the Good News Bible, yeah.
Yeah, that kind of stuff, right? Yeah. But yeah, so I don't know, right? So, but my other thought is that a lot of Koreans are very bilingual, are very distrusting of Korean translations of English literature. They find huge mistakes all the time.
Yeah, Rosa usually laughs when she watches drama, you know, English American sitcoms or whatever.
Okay.
With Korean subtitles,
yeah.
Because even I can catch mistakes, is a pretty big sign that something's very wrong.
Yeah, so maybe there's a big drive to learn English because, you know, if they're screwing up Harry Potter, they're screwing up the Bible.
Yeah.
You know. All right. Sorry, JD. We kind of segued or kind of drifted there.
I've been getting along with all of them.
Oh, yeah. So, right. So, that's just like the sentence in the Bible. I've been getting along with all of them. Of course, the fact that I'm the only other... single male in basically a school full of female teachers that are convinced that a single male is likely to eat nothing other than instant noodles when he is not fishing dinner out of the garbage bin behind the Galbi Mart next door, that is. ... Fortunately, the plentiful and dire warnings that I got from your show and the seminars that they gave us at orientation more than prepared me. One of the reasons that this works for me, other than the fact that the expectations are so low, happiness through lowered expectations, is that unlike Jay, I have complete freedom in the classroom. Most of my co-teachers are more than happy to sit back and just go with it. They translate when needed, and some of them I work more hand in hand with to get through a lesson. It's been a long day. I'm kind of tired. Sorry, JD, I'm screwing up the reading of your letter. When you're reading it in your mind, it flows very well. Right. But the bottom line is that I have the chance to get away from the book and do exercises, games, and otherwise force them to actually use English. So far, this seems to be working as they see my class as a break from what would otherwise have been a full week of rote learning. He wrote WROTE, but he wanted a spelling. ROTE, right?
Yeah.
Rote learning. The hallmark of the Korean educational system.
Yes.
Yeah.
Repeat after me 100 times.
Yes, exactly.
Now you know it.
Yeah, that is learning. I'm also unusually lucky, comparing myself to others that I have talked to, in that 7 of the 10 Korean English teachers that I work with actually speak English at a respectable level.
Wow, that is lucky.
Yeah, absolutely. Nonetheless, I have carved a nice niche for myself at my school as an expert with the corresponding godlike powers. I received a piece of advice before I left that it was best that you think of yourself as the English expert despite being surrounded by colleagues that could probably write a better academic paper in English than you. Yeah, you gotta bluff your way through. Once you do this, especially if you're working with Koreans that have not worked with other native English speakers, because this is indeed exactly how they view you. So far, this has been working for me, especially after I started teaching a Korean English teacher's training course, right? Yeah, that's another joy. You might not only be teaching kids, but then they might, you've got this free time. Why don't you also teach us?
Yeah, especially because the kids get lots of vacations, but the teachers don't.
Yeah, they may fill your time that way.
Yeah, especially because the other teachers are there and probably not doing too much. And they might think, hey, I could get free English lessons.
Yeah, or free during my lunchtime English lessons.
Yeah.
I would like to state that I agree with all the reasons that Jay listed as good reasons to go with EPIC. Of course, like everything else in Korea, .. results may vary. I do have a theory about why I think my classes are better than the two of you had me expecting. Sorry, JD.
Hey, it's better to have low expectations and have them exceeded.
Exactly. First, we get the students earlier in the day before they are burnt out from a full day of school and an endless barrage of high ones. That's true. Yeah. Definitely, yeah. Morning, you know, if you're teaching at night, sometimes they'll switch to morning programs during their holidays.
Yeah, the morning programs, much more energy.
Exactly, yeah. Or at least the kids are just so doe-eyed, tired, you know, sleep tired, you know, that they don't have time to be monsters, you know. All right. Second, many of the kids that you teach have maybe already had classes with a foreigner before, so it's less exciting, I think. A portion of my students at one of my schools are on welfare and don't even have the opportunity to go to a Hagwon where they might meet foreign teachers. Yeah. Especially on the countryside.
In my first school, it was $30,000 a month for tuition. Okay. So like $30
right,
a month.
Right, yeah.
And they were definitely low-income people.
Right.
And yeah, there was definitely a much different attitude from them than like my current school where they're
thank
all like
thank God you're here.
Not necessarily thank God you're here,
no.
But definitely more like a rock star.
Okay.
Like celebrity sighting than at my current school where, you know, most of them have lived overseas and it's, you know, same old, whatever.
Right, yeah. That's another bias I think we should have included. Don't think you're going to be a rock star, you know?
Yeah. But if you're in a small town, you well could be.
Exactly, yeah. All right. In the brochure for Epic Back Home, their slogan is, your best bet for teaching in Korea. I agree with that slogan, even though it unnecessarily points out that coming to teach in Korea is really just a crapshoot with banana milk and scary ajumas. Yeah.
Truth in advertising.
Yeah. Your best bet. Yeah, really, like when it comes right down to it, it's like, that's just not a slogan. That is really a kind of a literal statement, you know.
Yeah.
Your leap of faith for teaching in Korea. All right. Finally, for the most part, my coworkers like their jobs. Being a public school teacher in Korea is a desirable job. It is also difficult to get because of a civil servant exam that they all need to pass. So any given public school teacher really wanted that job. They also have a lot of job security, vacation, and they, from what I can tell, are more involved with their students' lives than some of their parents. For example, if the students get into trouble with the police contact their homeroom teachers rather than their parents. Wow. Just some thoughts and observations that I wondered if the three of you had any comments. Again, I apologize for the length of this email. I hope that the two of you are well, and should you choose to put any of this on air, well, we're putting all of it on air, I would like to give a shout-out to any of the Epic kids that might be listening. Regards, JD. PPS, or he's in Pohang. For the record, Pohang is a city of 500,000 and home to the second largest steel producer in the world, which is POSCO.
Yeah.
POSCO, yeah. You see a lot of their buildings around Seoul. PSS, I seconded the veto on lung butter. It hurts my soul. PSSS, I think I know Jay. Could you pass on to him that I am... Well, I don't want to use his name here. Jay from... a nice city in the Midwest. But J, I will email you some particulars about JD. All right, so yeah, any comments there?
Yes, sorry, I just got distracted. I keep hearing this sound, and I don't know where it's coming from.
The bells.
The bells. It's really... because it sounds a little bit like my phone when my phone is in my purse.
All right.
But my phone is on the table, and so it's kind of freaking me out. So it just distracted me. I just would like to encourage more people. Let us know what your experiences are. We are but two people.
Yeah.
Though we have had many and various experiences in this country, we're still only two people, and sometimes three.
Sometimes three, yeah.
Also, this is sort of off the topic, but somebody once before had asked if we would have an interview with someone from down south, so maybe we could at some point do like a Skype interview for a podcast.
And I don't have Skype.
I do.
You do have Skype? All right. Maybe I'll get Skype set up. That might come in handy. All right. A lot of the podcasts I listen to, they all do everything over Skype.
Yeah.
Yeah. All right, yeah. I like the thing about the homer, police calling the homeroom teachers.
Yeah.
That's fascinating.
But that's just kind of sad. Like, I feel so sad for my students that I feel like they see me more than they see their dad, and they only see me twice a week.
I get a certain proprietary sense about my kids. Like, they are my kids, you know?
Yeah.
And that's maybe another one of those biases, that, you know, your kids have parents. They're not just little autonomous bots, you know?
Yeah, but when their drivers come and pick them up, and or their ajumas or whatever, like, it's so obvious that their parents are not nearly as involved in their lives as my parents were involved with mine.
Yeah, that's true, yeah.
You know, it just makes me kind of sad.
Yeah.
Because I feel like, especially my students that I currently have, are really at the top of the income scale, you know, and to have, you know, to be in that economic situation obviously is beneficial, but then to have it's seemingly very little input from their parents or very little contact with their parents compared to what they could have, you know, and compared to what I had coming from a working class family, it just seems kind of a shame, you know. Money is not everything, despite what some people may think in some Asian countries that will go unnamed because we've been talking about foreigner biases.
All right, that's our show. Jennifer Cotisol, anything coming up?
Next weekend,
okay.
So two weeks from now, the last weekend in October is the international conference. Online pre-registration is finished. You would have gotten a nice discount, now too late, but you can still register at the door. I don't know how much it costs. I think it's about $40.
Okay.
But whatever it is, it's a great value because there's two full days of
peace and love
presentations, many presentations going on in each hour. If you go to the publisher presentations, and you always get free books, and you sometimes get free stuff from other ones as well. If you're in it for the free stuff.
Contrary to rumors, the Hells Angels will not be providing security.
Right.
All right, good. Okay. But
actually, I'm one of the volunteer managers, and it will be college students providing just about everything.
All right. But word is, Bob Dylan may be going electric. might get a little crazy.
Yeah.
All right.
So, Carl, you didn't finish telling your story of going to immigration. You said you got there at 9:30.
Yes, right. As I got there at 9:30. I had the to review. You want to extend your contract.
Yes.
You need a new contract.
Yes.
With the dates. English. It could be in English.
And the school's official stamp on it.
Yeah. And then you need
30,000 won in stamps.
30,000 won in stamps, yes.
Immigration revenue stamps, not postage stamps.
Exactly, yeah. And then you need the photocopy of their school license.
Yes.
All right. And then you need this.
Oh, passport and ID.
What's it?
Your passport and ID, of course.
Yeah, passport ARC card. And then you need this sponsorship form, which your school can download it from the immigration website, I'm sure. I actually took a photo of it. I'll post a photo of the form. So if you're in that situation for some reason, you can print out the photo. You can show it to your, I call it the Whitey Wrangler. You can show it to your Whitey Wrangler, and you can go, I don't know what this is, but I need it. You can get it from the immigration website. I don't know where you can get it from, but here's the URL. You figure it out.
Yeah.
And they will go, oh, and they will take it and they will walk away.
Yes.
And then a couple days later, they will come back with it.
Yeah.
Yeah. So I find that's helpful. If you can give them as much Korean as possible and URLs and things to get them on the road.
Yeah.
Phone numbers. Yeah. Koreans don't mind using the phone here, which is interesting. Like, you know, if they want to know something, they call and they get information. I don't like using the phone. I like the email. I like web pages.
Me too.
Yeah, I don't like having to call people and going asking them questions. If I can go to a desk and ask them, I like that.
Yeah.
I just don't like using the phone to talk to people to get information.
Indeed.
I don't know why. MSN, if I can MSN people, that's fine too. So there's the phone. I don't like the phone. I don't have a cell phone.
I know.
Yeah. All right. So, So I had all that. You don't need a picture.
No, because they just reuse your old card.
You don't need your, what's the thing?
Diploma.
You don't need your diploma, and you don't need your,
transcripts.
Transcripts, right. The thing that with all the D's and F's and C's on it. Well, at least mine.
The thing that shows you barely graduated from college?
Yeah. I had a damn good time. Coming with the electric jello. All right. So anyway, yeah, I had a very good time in college. Well, university, as we call it in Canada, yeah. University. Because if you say college, that means I went to, like, you know, I took cooking
community
or
college.
Something. Yeah. Dental hygienist or something, 2 years.
Okay. Oh, I see.
Yeah. So what you may call associate degree.
Yeah, we call that an associate's degree, which you still have to go to university to get. It's just only 2 years.
Okay. All right. So, yeah. So, right. So I had all that. I went down and I got there about 9:30 and I got my little ticket. And if you look at your ticket, it gives you an approximate waiting time, too.
Yeah. Which is such a lie.
Yeah, it is a bit of a lie. And there's like three or four buttons.
Yeah.
Yeah. And it's not clear initially which one you have to push.
Not at all. The one at Mokdong is now much clearer than it used to be.
Oh, yeah?
It used to be just a complete crapshoot because the one that you were actually supposed to take was labeled as something so completely different that you would never guess that that was the one you were supposed to take.
Yeah, yeah. Well, this at the Insadong one, the Zhongno one, Anguk Station 1. The one you're probably supposed to take is they've got this red tape all around it.
Okay.
So, yeah. So, but the first time out there, I still pressed the wrong one. And the one way you can kind of figure out you've got the wrong one, if it's for the one you should have has more windows devoted to that ticket, not the... So if you take it and it's got that three or four windows devoted to it, that's the one. If it's only got like one or two windows devoted to it, you don't have the right one.
And also the one with the longest number of people in line before you.
Yes, yes.
If there's like the investment one, obviously not you.
Nope.
But the other ones that'll have like one or two people waiting in line, not you either.
Correct.
The one with like 37 people in front of you, maybe it.
Yep.
If there's another one that has like 87 people in front of you, then that's definitely the one.
Correct, yes, yeah. So I was sitting there, and then some guy sat next to me, and he seemed a little bit flustered, like he just couldn't talk to somebody right away. He had to take a ticket.
Okay.
So he sat next to me, right? And then he sort of starts to talk to me in English. English was pretty good. He's like, well, I gotta wait.
Yeah, imagine.
Yeah, and I'm like, you know, actually, it came at a really good time. I was talking about, I was here last week, you know, and I had to sit here for over 2 hours. It's like I never even said anything to him. He's like, well, I really gotta wait. He's like, what's your number? You know, I'm like, oh, 121, you know. And it was like, at that point, it was like 108. And he's looking at his, it's like, you know, 145.
So now he's figuring out how to get you to fall asleep so he can switch numbers with you or something.
That is possible, yeah. Because he seems to be, like, concerned that I'm not going to know which one to go to. Like, because I was like, I don't know, it was like 128. And then there was like, you know, 126 was up. And he's like, you might be going to that one, 126. Okay, thank you.
I bet the number will flash with an arrow at the appropriate time.
Yeah.
And there'll probably be a bell to go along with it.
Yeah, I don't know. So anyways, so I get up there, and there was the same woman from last week. She's like, you were here before.
I'm like,
yes.
But you must really stand out if she remembers you a week later.
Yeah, I don't know. So anyway, but this time she's sort of looking at everything. And she's got like long red nails. I remember those. Clickety, clickety, clickety. Clickety, clickety, clickety. And then she sort of takes my things. And then she gives me back my passport. And she takes my ARC card.
Mm-hmm.
ARC card.
Yeah.
And then she's like, oh, you know, go sit over there. It'll be about 10 minutes. I'm like, oh, I don't have to come back next week?
No.
She's like, no. I'm like, okay. So I go sit. And then, like, about 10 minutes later, they call my name. And they just write in pen.
Yeah.
You know, the new...
Which they could have done in, like, 3 seconds while you were sitting there.
Yeah.
But, you know, whatever.
But they put a piece of tape over it, so you can't sort of peel it back, change it yourself. Like, but...
High tech.
Yeah, but it's all on a computer. Like, they're gonna notice a difference, you know? I don't even think they even look at the damn card. You know, they just have a computer screen.
Yeah, I think that's just for people outside of immigration that need to see your card.
Yeah, yeah. It's all very paperless here, which kind of is weird because.
Yeah, it used to have a big
paper.
Thick file.
Yeah,
at immigration.
Yeah. If you ever heard anybody talking about a blue paper, that's long gone. The blue paper.
Oh, really?
Yeah, the blue paper. Now it's a number. They just give you a number. Yeah.
Oh, that's true. My husband had a number last time.
Yeah, yeah. So if you're looking at some old website and you're trying to help your school figure it out, what you frequently have to do, then don't be so concerned if you get no blue paper anymore. Now it's just a strange little number. Yeah, it's computers. They use computers. Yeah.
Yeah. My first roommate, when I came to Korea, she had come to Korea first and then flown to Japan.
Okay.
And the school gave her the ticket, and then later for the next day.
Okay.
And then late at night, someone knocked on her door and was like, "Oh, I forgot to give you this."
Oh.
And it was the blue paper.
The blue paper.
So
yeah.
They had very nearly put her on the plane to go get her visa without the blue paper.
Yeah. So then so I got my new ARC card. And it's all good. I'm legal. Remember I was talking about maybe just going, screw it, and just going to Japan for the weekend, coming back and just, finishing out my days here on a tourist visa. I'm actually kind of glad I didn't do that, because one of my coworkers, one of the foreigners, he did that and he was caught. I don't know, maybe they're getting hip to it. But I think he's been here a long time and he's never had a work visa. He's always been doing the...
Yeah, I think those days are getting to the end if they haven't already passed.
Yeah.
Yeah, when I first came here, there were definitely a lot of people, a lot of Canadians, because they get 6 months, that would just make a biannual trip to
Japan.
Japan, or no, I guess
Thailand.
That's semi-annual, right?
Yeah.
Every 6 months.
Okay, right.
Trip to Japan and then come back. And back in those days, when it wasn't so much all computerized, it's a little bit different. But now I think, they can look and see that you've been here like 4 years and have no source of income, and yet you seem to be living here just fine.
Exactly.
They're not stupid.
Mm, yeah. My thinking was if I did do that, I was just going to sort of tell them, look, I've been here 4 years. I've not seen any of Korea, which is nearly the truth. I just would like to come here, spend some of the money I saved, tour around, see your beautiful country, butter them up a little bit, that kind of thing. So I thought that might be kind of a good thing to sort of tell them. I just want to spend money here in Korea, leave some of that money I made here in Korea touring around for a few months. Is that okay? That was my idea. But
yeah, but then you'd have to you'd have to start getting paid in cash, and you wouldn't be able to transfer that money and all that.
Who knows? All right.
Yeah, did I tell you about the last time I went to the bank?
The bank? What happened at the bank?
I went to send some money home, and they actually, because my bank, I go to Nonghyup Bank, Farmers Co-op, and so they don't do foreign exchange.
Okay, I've noticed that bank, and there's always that bank. And they always have fruits and vegetables.
Yes, the farmers cooperative.
Okay, that explains things. So I'm like, what? Because I know chables are always into chewing gum and TIE fighters and whatever.
Right. So why is there a butcher suddenly in my bank?
Exactly. Exactly.
Yeah, that's why.
Because you just go, it just must be some chables bizarre system. But it's a farmer bank. That's why they're always associated.
Agricultural cooperative.
Okay.
So they don't do foreign exchange. So I go to Korea Exchange Bank to send money home.
Okay.
And this last time they were like, is this your pay? And I was like, well, it's part of it. Yeah. And she's like, did you just withdraw this? And I was like, well, I don't actually go to this bank. And that's sort of explaining that I'm a customer of a different bank is sort of pushing the limits of my conversational skills.
Okay.
So I pulled out my Nonghyup bank book and I showed her. I was like, here, this is, this is where I was deposited and this is where I was withdrawn.
All right.
And she went and made a photocopy of it.
Okay.
And I was like, okay.
Yeah.
Because, I sent $2,000 home, which I do regularly.
Sure,
and since a lot of foreigners here make about $2,000 a month, I could understand why I should be but I've been here a long time and I make more than $2,000 a month, so I can do that.
Well, yeah, they're really very paranoid about foreigners.
We have limits on how much we can send overseas, unless the laws changed.
Yeah. Well, what did some guy at a teacher message board was like, he was trying to mail a friend. Got him a plane ticket back in North America. He works for a airline company. Got him a ticket. So he wanted to mail him a check back to pay his friend for the airline ticket. You know, an American check drawn on an American bank.
Yeah.
Right. And but he wanted to sort of send it, you know, registered mail or whatever.
Yeah.
And the woman at the post office said, no, you can't mail checks.
Oh, no, you have to just lie and say it's a document.
Yeah. But I'm like, I mean, maybe not now, but didn't people used to pay bills with checks? Isn't that why we have checks, to pay bills? You know, putting checks in the mail?
Yeah. But I think their point is they just don't want to be responsible for it because it's a bank draft.
Sure, all right.
Like, if you lose that bank draft, it's
okay.
Gone. Because
all right.
I have mailed a bank draft and had it be lost.
Okay.
And it took just over a year to get reimbursed.
Oh, yeah.
And it was tuition.
Ah.
So, God, what was it? It was at least $2,000.
All right.
Yeah, I was not pleased.
Oh, God. So, yeah. And then there was, like, cell phones. There's a big stink about cell phones.
The thing about cell phones. I know that one, too.
Yeah.
Because I asked one time when I got a phone.
Right.
So many people don't pay their phone bills.
Okay.
Because I have the one with a card.
Okay.
And I just put money on it in advance.
All right. But,
because of people not paying their
right.
bills.
Okay.
And then they would just go get a phone.
Okay.
With a prepaid phone.
Right.
Because they haven't paid their regular phone bill.
Okay.
So now you have to prove that you don't have an outstanding debt.
To get a prepaid even?
To get a prepaid. Yeah, because right. so many people were only getting prepaid because
okay.
they were bad debts
all
on
right. yeah.
their other phone.
But there's definitely a limit on for foreigners how many cell phones they can own versus Koreans are allowed to own 4 or 5 cell phones, whereas foreigners are allowed to 2, some even limit them to 1.
Oh, really?
Yeah, there was kind of a big stink about that. Now you know, a lot of people are kind of upset, like, you know, oh, geez, you know, why can't we get credit cards here? And some, we are our own worst enemies. There have been a lot of bad eggs that have spoiled
yeah.
it, you know, that, well, what are they going to sue me in North America and go after
right.
their money? Yeah.
So, you know, how many foreigners have run up a $700
yeah.
phone bill their last
or
month
or credit
in the
card bills or things like
yeah.
that? Yeah.
There's
so
definitely a reason why they don't trust us.
Exactly. So, you have to sort of bias, right?
Yeah.
You have to sort of understand that you know, that the teachers before you have sort of ruined it for you.
Yeah.
So they're definitely suspicious. But then there are a couple things that don't make sense. Like if you can pay your, you know, your cell phone, you're getting your cell phone on your credit card and is backed by your credit card, you know, then what's the issue? I don't know. I mean, some weird arbitrary rule.
Yeah.
But that's life. All right. Anything else to add, Jennifer?
No, I don't think so.
All right. So send us email, gokorea@gmail.com, www.gokorea.info. Let's see. Anything coming up? Holidays? Nothing?
Nothing.
You know, Christmas, New Year's falls on the weekend.
Do they again?
Yeah, we're screwed out of a... Screwed of a.
They were on the weekend just a couple years ago.
No.
Yeah, that sucks.
No. Yeah.
But Solal is another 3-dayer. We got that to look forward to.
What's that?
Solal, New Year's, 3 days.
What month?
Oh, February?
All right, yeah, because I'm here till the end of February. Ooh, sweet. All right, bye-bye.
Bye. I don't mind.